We are not alone. God is with us. When my grandmother passed away, my mother's mother, she died of an aneurysm, not the worst way to go. Got a headache, went to sleep, mom went to get her for dinner. She was non-responsive. Of course, the paramedics came, hooked her up to machinery, and kept her going for 4 or 5 days. And a few days later, we had to meet in a hospital room while the medical personnel turned off the machines. But Grandma's brainwave was already a flatline. There was nobody home. And my mom held Grandma's hand and talked to her while the heart monitor slowly got slower and slower until there was nothing. But we knew her brain wasn't functioning. And so I remember asking my mom, "Why did you hold her hand and talk to her when she was already gone?" I don't remember all the mother said, but I remember one thing, and it was brought vividly back to mind during the practicing for this concert and thinking about what I was going to say tonight. Mom said, "Please don't let me die alone." The Bible says it's not good for us to be alone. We are not alone. God is with us. And yet sin is really nothing more than us saying to God, "Leave me alone." Now, there are worse things than being alone. I've met some folks that have been married 20 or 30 years. And I've asked them, "Would you have rather spent the last 20 or 30 years alone?" I got a yes. It's who are you with and what are they like? And yet I think the greatest human fear really is, if I am truly known for who I truly am, I will be unwanted, unloved, and left alone. But we are not alone. God is with us. Now that takes the basic assumption that God is. You know, the Bible never argues whether God exists. It just says in the beginning, God. And God says, "I'm here, I'm present. I am with you." I'd like to suggest "with" means a couple of things. First of all, it means he's here, he's present, he's active, he's involved. Number two, it means he's with us, he's on our side. He's present, he's on our side. Science wants to tell you and me that as the human race, we are alone. We're just made out of star stuff that is somehow congealed into human beings. And we'll come and we'll go, and a thoughtless, ruthless universe will go on. We are alone. And yet I find it interesting that science has the SETI project, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, where they spend millions of dollars beaming radio telescopes, radio telescopes up into the sky, listening for some sound of intelligent communication, because deep down I think they even hope we're not alone. We're not alone. God is with us. Is that good news? Well, this is a partisan audience. You're in a church. Go out and ask a lot of folks on the street, "Would you like God to show up at your house tonight? Would that be good news?" Doesn't God wreck all parties? I mean, isn't that the attitude? Do you really want God over tonight, or were you planning to do some things? We are not alone. God is with us. So what is God like? Well, let's see. When Adam and Eve first sinned, when they first voted God out of office, rejected his leadership and relationship, and said, leave us alone, and they retreated into the bushes with their fig leaves, how did God respond? He showed up. How did he show up? Did he come walking through the garden like a monster through the underbrush? Did he sulk off in a corner like a wounded lover and ignore them? Did he yell at them, you made your bed, now lie in it? Did he belittle them for making foolish choices? Did he stalk them? If I can't have you, nobody will. Did he sneak up and capture them? Gotcha. Did he slap them for being sassy? Did he retaliate trying to hurt them like they had hurt him? Did he threaten them with death? I'll kill you for this. No, the Bible says they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God came down for an evening chat, a twilight stroll, after dinner conversation by the fire. He sought to be near to restore relationship with his rebellious kids. He actually came to say, even though you've told me to leave you alone, I want you to know I'm still here and I'm on your side. Notice, God did not do to us all the things we tend to do to someone who hurts us. Even though I think most religions paint God in a different light. What do most religions teach about God, including most of Christianity? He says, if you love me, I'll give you heaven and happiness. If you choose not to love me, I'll make you miserable forever. It's what most religion teaches. Now, would you date somebody who that was their proposal? Or marry someone? If you marry me, I'll treat you good. If you don't, I'll make you miserable. You'd say no in a hurry, wouldn't you? And yet we're supposed to say yes to God. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. That's the way of selfish human beings, not a loving God. Religion seems to have tried to make God to be out like us rather than showing us what God is really like. God knew that sin would make us lonely, selfishness would separate us from him and each other, that sin would make this earth a harder place to live, chaotic, lonely, that sin would ultimately suck the life out of us until we died. So God came to be with us. Not to inflict punishment, but to be with us through the painful circumstances sin would bring on us. God came to be with us, not to alienate us, but to go through the loneliness and isolation of sin with us. God came to be with us, not to kill us, but to hold our hand while we die and give us the hope of the resurrection. He came to rescue us from what sin is doing to us, not to do something to us because we have sinned. He is present, and he is on our side. Of course, what did Adam and Eve do when God showed up in the garden? They had retreated into the bushes with their fig leaves, isolating themselves. God says, where are you? In the bushes. Why? We were afraid. What were you afraid of? Had God been mean in the past? God had been nothing but good. Why were they afraid? Well, we're naked. They were overtaken with shame, and they began to blame God, and they began to blame each other. If God truly sees us for who we are, he will certainly walk off and reject us. We've got to fix ourselves up. Humans have been trying to fix themselves up ever since, and it is an obsession with us. God knew that we would experience the shame and aloneness of sin, those first feelings of that sense of inadequacy that now plagues every one of us every day. God showed up to reestablish relationship, to give hope, to make promises. He came to look for his kids, to let them know he was still here with us, Sin may separate us from God physically, but it never emotionally separated God from us. In fact, God tells them there in Genesis 3:15, he says, there's going to be a war. It's going to go on between the serpent and the woman and down through the generations between your offspring. And eventually an offspring of the woman will come and he will whoop the dragon. And because God is with us and we are not alone, the losses of sin can be temporary. And the gains of eternal life can be regained. To help us grasp this in a dark world, God then likened himself to a lamb, not a dragon. And he said, when you worship me, I want you to bring a lamb, an innocent, vulnerable lamb. And I want you to kill that lamb and have it die in your place, as it were. Have it experience the results of sin for you so that you can live as a tangible symbol to teach you the consequences of sin. It may be fun for a little while, but that's how you'll end up because of sin, just like that dead lamb. That's the ultimate result, dead alone. The lamb was to show us what God is like. He's not pushy. He's not dangerous to be around. He's not self-centered, even though he's the ultimate self. He's not to be afraid of, even though he's awesome. That lamb would show us the cost of salvation, the lengths that God will go to save us, to come to be with us, to come down and save us from being alone. God said to Israel, I want you to build me a sanctuary. Just a tent. I want you to build a tent for me in the middle of your campground. I want to camp out with you. I want to be with you. God has never abandoned us to the consequences of sin. God has always desired to continue in relationship with us in spite of sin and to rescue us from what sin is doing to us. Of course, then there was Mount Sinai when God showed up and scared everybody half to death. Fire and thunder and earthquakes. And loud noise. And everybody ran in terror. And God says, well, it is important that you know how powerful I am. It's important that we know that God is not only the Lamb who comes to die for us, but God is the power of the universe. And so he does a little thundering and roaring now and then. But he says, I'm just showing you that I have what it takes to get you through whatever obstacles lie ahead and to defeat any enemies that might come out against you. Because all that power is on our side. He is present and he's on our side. It's kind of like a human being sees a bulldozer coming and sees an anthill, and you love those ants. And so you try to, you know, gather those ants up and take them to safety. What are those ants going to do to you? They're going to bite you. Why? You're too awesome. They don't understand. You're so big. You're so terrifying. Even though you love them and are trying to help them, they just don't get it. How in the world would you manage to save the ants? You would have to become an ant while retaining the power and perspective of being a human. And so in God's ultimate coming down, God became a human while retaining the perspective and power of being God. The infinite God compressed himself into a sperm that joined with an egg in Mary's womb, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And where would this God, who likened himself down through time as a lamb, choose to be born? Where lambs are born? In a barn. In a stable. In a sheepfold. He came vulnerable as a human, as a baby. He came to walk with us through the chaos that this world has become. He came to go into the heat of battle with us. He came to sit and visit and eat meals and hike in the hills. He came to work alongside us and carry our burdens and listen to our stories and hear our hearts. He showed his power to help and to heal, not to hurt us. He came to encourage us, not to condemn and threaten us. He came seeking relationship, to express affection and to win our trust and love. God became man without ceasing to be God. It is so important that we understand that Jesus truly became human, a person. We are not alone. God is with us, Emmanuel, truly one of us, not a masquerade. In reality, God became man. Therefore, there is no separation between God and us anymore, because he is us. Now be careful, don't flip that around in the New Age philosophy that therefore we are him. It's possible for the greater to become lesser. It's not a possible thing for the lesser to become the greater. God is us, but we are not God. Yes, God became man, truly, without ceasing to be God. And it's so important that we also understand that while Jesus truly became human, while God truly became human in Jesus, God in Jesus remained truly, fully, and absolutely God. God didn't send some third party to take our whipping for us. You know, I've heard this picture of God and salvation. God is really angry with sin. And he's going to come down here and he's going to wipe it out. He's angry with sinners. He's going to wipe them out. And of course, what does Jesus do? He jumps in the way and he says, "Hit me instead." And so God wipes out Jesus and now he likes us. That doesn't make much sense to me. Jesus isn't somebody who jumped in the way of God's anger at us. Jesus is God taking the consequence of sin for us. That is so, so important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God is in the saving business. Jesus did not appease an angry God. Jesus is God reconciling us, God with us, ending the separation, renewing the relationship. When we look upon the face of Jesus, we look upon the face of God with us. Relationships, probably the greatest human challenge, the greatest quest and quandary of human existence is relationships. It's a journey. Relationships are a journey, a great adventure, a fulfillment, a completion. It's not good for man to be alone. Yet we seem to always end up alone. The toughest quest a man, a male, will ever take on is a relationship with God. Not because it's hard, not because we have to struggle to earn it, but that it is so contrary to our selfishness, our independent aloneness. Men ride alone. We end up desperados, cold, alone, dying, longing for home, and not willing to admit it. Fearful that our manhood somehow cannot stand up to the rigors of a real relationship, fearful that if we are truly known, we will be rejected. I believe that the greatest quest in romance for any woman will be to experience a relationship with God, and the most difficult, not because it's hard or because you have to earn and deserve it, but that it is so contrary to your selfishness, your controlling aloneness, your fear of being used or abused, fearful that your womanhood can't stand up to the rigors of a real relationship, fearful that if you are truly known, you too will be ultimately rejected. But God is not like us. His ways are not our ways. He does not react to our rejection of him like we react to others who reject us. He comes, Emmanuel, God with us, to be present, to be on our side, to do everything he can to bring us back into relationship with him, to teach us that in his eyes, He will never find us inadequate for a relationship with Him because He made us in His image. He made us designed for relationship with Him. He knows what He put in us. He's not going to walk away and leave us alone. We are not alone. God is with us, present and on our side. The question is, are you hiding in the bushes today, still clinging to your fig leaves? Are you trying to cover for your own inadequacy, afraid that if God finds you the way you really are, He'll yell at you, He'll condemn you, He'll hit you? You need to come to the stable where the Lamb of God was born. There are stories in the rest of the Bible that make us wonder about God sometimes, like zapping Uzzah and other things. What's He up to? But the ultimate revelation of God through which all other stories must be filtered starts in the stable where the Lamb of God was born. Not to condemn the world, but to take away the sin of the world. Come to the stable, see the Lamb of God, who wants to remove the misery from your life, the loneliness, the ache, and fill your life with meaning and purpose and relationships and love and power. He wants to actually restore in each of us the ability to relate not only to Him, but to each other, on a lifelong and eternal basis. Is God with us really good news? I believe it is, because I think God is the kind of person we will absolutely love to hang out with forever. The ultimate date, the ultimate relationship, the ultimate spouse, the ultimate partner, the ultimate friend. We are not alone. God. Oh, I like the way C.S. Lewis put it. God is not safe, but He's good. He's awesome, but He's on our side. God is with us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for being a God of reconciliation, not a God of condemnation. May we see You for who You truly are, by looking into the face of Jesus. And I want to just give an opportunity tonight through the music or the spoken word, if God has touched your heart and you feel that this is the time you need to say, okay, I'm coming out of the bushes, I'm going to cast aside the fig leaves, I'm going to see if God's going to accept me just the way I am. Is this really who God is? If it is, I want it. I want a relationship with Him. If you need to say tonight in a very specific way, I desire tonight to invite God to complete that relationship with me that He is longing to have, I choose to enter it with Him and accept Jesus as my Savior. With your eyes closed so everyone has their privacy, I just invite you, if you need to make that decision tonight, to raise your hand. Yes, God sees your hand. Yes, over here on the right. On the left, yes. Down front, in the back, yes, yes, yes. Dear Jesus, would You see these hands right now? Would you come close? Would You let each one who raised their hand feel Your arms of love and realize that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? We are not alone. You are with us, and we praise You for that. And You will be with us forever. In Jesus' name, amen.